often spoke about that I grew up under, especially around missions time, but there's only one life, it'll soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. Amen. Psalm, if you would. Psalm 103. Psalm 103 tonight. Not sure whether I'm going to preach tonight or teach. It'll be somewhere in between. But my intention is to preach tonight, but there's a lot here that I want to be very expository about the scripture tonight and direct. I don't want to expose anything that's brand new. The psalmist, under the inspiration of God, wrote about God himself. And he begins the chapter with, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And oftentimes I find myself, and many of you, we get busy for the Lord, but very often I forget to do the very thing that I ought to do on a daily basis and bless the Lord. And so tonight I just want to kind of remind you that we ought to have a time when any time we pray, there ought to be a time of praise, to prelude our time of asking. And when we go to the Lord, blessing the Lord is just to praise him, to glorify him for who he is. And the psalmist does a great job, under the inspiration of God, to kind of tell us the acts of the Lord, who the Lord really is. You know, I think sometimes we miss the fact, we study the Bible and we want to read the Bible because we want to know more about God, but God reveals so much of himself to us. And some of it is so plain, and sometimes it's right before our eyes and we miss it. God will plainly tell us that he is love in the scripture. In this passage of scripture, he will plainly tell us that he is mercy. Do you know, I mean, there are some clear-cut things that man themselves put on God, but when God says, the Lord is this, or God is love, when we read those things, he is those things. We can't know what the word truly means without knowing who God is. And so tonight we want to dive into it. We want to leave here with not only having praised God and glorified him for being God, but also knowing him a little better than we did when we came in. Amen. So what's the desire tonight? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin. Dear God, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, I thank you again for your word. Lord, I thank you for being God who revealed himself to me through salvation. God, changing my life. God, I pray that if there's someone here today that does not know Christ as Savior, that today they would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I pray for the Christian that is in the room today, that we would see the Word of God and that we would heed the Word of God and we would see the things that you actively participate regularly in our lives. And God, help us to praise you for those things. And God, help us also to see who you're not. That you're not a God that wants to hurt us and harm us, but a God who is long-suffering. God, I pray tonight that you would just guide and direct us, Lord. Bring us to a place where we know you better after the service. In Jesus' name, amen. In Psalm 103, the beginning of the chapter starts as this. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Now, I want you to see the very first two verses before we get into all his benefits. He begins to list them, but I want you to see the word bless. And in the Webster's 1828 dictionary, he defines the word to bless, or to bless something is to simply praise, to glorify for benefits received. The 1828 dictionary is one that we go to. It is an older, but also one that a man who was a Christian, who believed in God and used much of the Word of God to define words and give that to us. Oftentimes you'll find in the definitions references to the Scripture. It's the best one to use. It's something now you don't have to carry around the 6-inch wide version of it or deep version of it. You can get it on your phone or on your computer and use it to define words, and it'll help you. I'll just say this. A lot of times we're apt to use things like a Strong's Dictionary and other things, but we need to be careful of men like that. And listen, we don't want to take advice from someone who is a non-believer. And just because it is something that is old or well used by other people, we should check up on who they are. Folks, we check on whether people are saved before they join the church. And so before we study God's word, we ought to be careful of who it is that we're listening to and getting guidance from on how words are to be interpreted. And so I'm thankful that there are tools out there and there are people that we can trust, but we ought to vet those things before we just take it. We live in a day and age where everything is being faked. All right, and it is easier in this age than it's ever been to fake a picture, a video, a definition. I mean, we could go down your digital presence and who you are on the internet. It's easier than it's ever been for someone to steal your identity. And if we're not careful, we'll follow people who are trying to lead people astray spiritually, changing definitions, changing words, and changing the way we think about things. And again, you say, preacher, why are you getting on that? Because again, we ought to come to a place, the word of God leads us to bless the Lord, to praise him, to glorify him. It says, oh my soul, if I could just say this, and he's going to use this terminology, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. He uses, oh my soul, because there's not a deeper or more immortal part of man to know and to record who God is and to praise him from. Your flesh has no right to praise God yet. As a saved person, it is still not redeemed, but the innermost part of you, your soul, if you believed and called upon the name of the Lord, you are redeemed in the inner man. The flesh on the outside still wars with the spirit or the soul that's in you and the Holy Spirit that seals you until the day of redemption. But I'm going to tell you right now, he doesn't say, praise the Lord, O my flesh. And it's not because it's beautiful to say, oh my soul, but because it's a true and enduring statement. It's something that helps us to understand in all that is within me. He doesn't say all that's outside of me. When he talks about all that is within me, I want to just ask you this today. All the things that are inside of you, your thoughts, your dreams, all that you are, does all that, look at the statement now, praise or bless the Lord? There are some parts of us, and again, you say, well, preacher, I'm not sure that all of me, the inner parts of me, even think about God. That's something that we need to change then. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. If everything that's in me can't praise, glorify, or worship God because of his holy name, then guess what it isn't? It isn't holy. And it's something that we can't just always throw out. It's something usually that has to take the washing of the word or time or us asking God to help us remove that from the inner part of ourselves. Sometimes it's people that we need to forgive or something that was done to us, but we need not carry it because everything that is within me needs to be able to praise the Lord, to bless his holy name, to bless the Lord. He goes on in the second part, and he speaks more of who we really are, but it also kind of gives us an inkling of where our memory truly is. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I'll submit to you tonight that the part of you that is cognitive and that is who you truly are is the soul, the immortal part of who you are. Now, the older we get sometimes, and sometimes as we age, the connection between the soul and the body begins to untether. It is why we finally come to the place where the soul lets go and goes to heaven and the flesh can no longer breathe, act, move the way it used to. And it is not the soul that is getting weak. It is the flesh. And it is the part that is losing its tether. It is the part that cannot access the things of God or the things inside the inner man as it used to be able to. But I'll just submit to you tonight that as we age and as we listen, I just want, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We often forget his benefits. You know, we forget things that we don't consistently remember. We take pictures, and oftentimes we think that pictures are keepsakes. Pictures are memories. It's often been said that a picture is worth 1,000 words. In most of my childhood, I'm not sure that whether I remember the things that happened in my childhood or whether I remember the telling of the things that happened as my mom showed me the pictures of my childhood and told me over and over again how I loved this toy and how I love this bike or how I love this thing. And I believe that continual non-forgettings or the memories of those things were locked down inside me. It is important for us to be reminded and praise God for who He is so that we don't forget. When we tell God who He is on a regular basis, it helps us. God knows who He is. God has no need of our praise, but He likes it. I will say this, God allows us to praise Him because we are the benefactors. We're reminded of how holy He is and what we are not and what we are striving to be more like. He goes on and he talks about how God, his actions, what God is in action in our lives. He says in verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. I underlined in the verse the actions that are taking place. Who redeemeth thy life? The redeemer of all things that have been lost to destruction of sin is the Lord God. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Many of us don't realize just what God saved us from. If you are like me and you are listening to the sound of my voice, you do not know the depths of sin that you could have been in if you were not raised in a good, independent, Bible-believing, devil-hating, Bible-preaching church. And if you were left to yourself and you were on your own and you were not given what you have been given through the Word of God and being raised around the Bible, then listen, what kind of destruction could you have made out of your own life on this side, let alone the destruction that comes for all who reject Jesus Christ and go on to hell? He says, He redeemeth thy life. Listen, we can redeem the days of our lives. The Bible goes on and says, redeeming the time. For the days are evil. Once we get redeemed by Jesus Christ, we have the opportunity to redeem some things about ourselves. We had no power to redeem time before we had the Holy Spirit. We had no time to be redeemable, if we could say it that way, outside of God. But once the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of us, we can put on or take in some redeemable qualities about ourselves. And people see a difference, not because of who we are, but whose we are in Jesus Christ. It is God, and we ought to never forget His benefits, the benefit of redemption. He redeemeth, look at this, He redeemeth thy life from destruction. Look at verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. I skipped it, for forgiveth all thine iniquities, who, look at this, healeth all thy diseases. Now for all of us, many of us would I just say this, forgiveth all thine iniquities. Listen, I don't know about you, but people talk about this and they talk about that you can lose your salvation. But how can you lose your salvation if all of your iniquities are forgiven? Now, I don't know about you, but it helps us to understand forgiveth and redeemeth seem like the same property, but one has to take place for redemption to be ability. You have to be able to forgive sin for man to be redeemed back into God. Jesus had to come and die on Calvary so that He could pay our sin debt, so that our sins were both, listen, I'll just say that, forgivable and redeemable. We became redeemable because of the forgiveness of our sins. He goes on and he says this, who healeth all thy diseases. Oftentimes we don't think about disease as touching us until it actually shows up in our home. We see a long prayer list and we see people in our family and we see people that have needs. But I'll just say that oftentimes we don't realize what we got when we got God, until we realize that deep inside the inner flesh of man, there's something taking place that only God can heal. And that same God has the ability to heal all diseases. Now, I don't know about you, but I take hope when I think of that there's nothing too big for my God. There's no disease that He can't treat, that He can't heal, that He can't make disappear. But again, I know this, that that's not always His will, but God has the ability to do so. I will just say this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Do you know that that incredible? I know this is, you know, it's easy to say when you're not dealing with it, but oftentimes I've watched my pastor's wife go through two rounds of breast cancer and give God the glory for it and allow him to get praise and honor and glory, and it took her place. She says, I never would have gone to the places where those ladies who were lost and needed me most had it not been for God allowing me to have cancer. And she got to go and witness to people who were going through the same thing. And those same people may never have come to that low place in their life where they felt like they needed God. Listen, he is God of all diseases as well. Do you know God didn't want disease to be in the world? He's a God who created a perfect world and a perfect garden, and he said all of those things were good. But the first disease that came on man that really destroyed us from the inside out was sin. And all the things that have come up and all the diseases that we see, and I, you know, we could go on and on about it, but all those things are born out of sin and will not be fixed until God rules and reigns upon planet Earth again. You say, preacher, why are you getting it? Because if he can forgive my sins and redeem me back into himself, then that same God, if I will serve him, he says, who crowneth thee with long, look at loving kindness and tender mercy. Do you know that none of us, no matter how good we serve God, and no matter what, if we're faithful, none of us would ever be deserving of a crown when we meet him face to face. But he's a God who is loving kindness, who wants to reward us for faithfulness. He wants to be able to crown us with glory and honor. That's not deserving to us, but because we've served him. Look at what it says here. It says, crown thee with, look at, loving kindness and tender mercies. The crowns that we could earn for him are not those that would necessarily come to a place where we want to keep them, or we won't be who we are today. We won't turn to somebody who doesn't have the same crown we have and say, na 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 boo boo, look what I got, and you don't have one. That's not what heaven's going to be about at all. Most of us will stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and if there are redeemable things that he can say, again, I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, but if there is something that is worthy of a crown and he gives it, it'll only be for his honor and glory so that we might be able to lay it back at his feet. God's actions in our life, there's so many. And listen, we need to bless the Lord, because if not, we'll forget all his benefits. He goes on, he says, who, in verse 5, satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? He says, satisfies thy mouth with good things. Do you know that many times for us, and I'll just say this, we get recharged and renewed when we encourage others. And when we are encouraged. Many times I'll hear people, and I think, and again, I'm not saying that I'm not guilty of this, but it's something I preach about often, and I want to encourage our church, because if we're not careful, we'll fall into, you know, negative Nancys and negative Neds. And all of us will get on the wrong side of things, and all we can ever talk about is what isn't right with the church instead of all the things that are right, all the things that God is blessing. And listen, I'm just going to tell you, all those bad things that we might drag up that, yes, need repair, need fixing, not only in other people's lives, but there's plenty of holes in our own. But when we start to take and take pictures of that and to spread it to everyone, guess who doesn't get any glory from that? That is the one who redeemed us, who forgave us of our sin. He doesn't get but he satisfies. Is anyone ever satisfied with complaining? Does it ever bring us to a place where we feel like we've done a good thing when we get done complaining about somebody or something that's going on? No, but what happens is when there are good things in my mouth, when I go and encourage, when I tell somebody I appreciated that, I'm encouraged. Listen, what happens is I am renewed. I feel youthful. I am encouraged. Even though my purpose and my want to was to show someone else encouragement and to show someone else a good thing and to inspire them. Guess who really gets that? I do. You say, well, I don't believe it. Well, if you're a parent, you know exactly what happens at Christmas.
I grew up, and man, I thought Christmas was the greatest day on planet Earth. Just a few days before it, amen, 5 days before it, I had a birthday, and my parents were so good to try to have my birthday, and if I didn't get what I wanted for Christmas on my birthday, I got it 5 days later for Christmas. It was a great month of my life. I enjoyed it, and I'm just going to tell you, it was great, and I had a great time with it, but it wasn't nothing like when I became a parent. And I didn't get all the same things that I got before, but I gave those things. And we say, well, preacher, it doesn't seem like that ought to be the way it is. It doesn't also seem like we want to be blessed of God. And what will truly charge us up and encourage us as Christians is when we bless the Lord with all that's within us. We oftentimes are looking for God's blessings or looking for encouragement, and it often comes when we decide to be the blessed one, the one that blesses. For all of us, what do we forget? We forget all the benefits we got when we got God. When we got saved and we got Him, we got forgiven. We got redeemed. We are going to have the crown. We get satisfied. I don't know about you, but my soul longed. There was a God-shaped hole in my heart. All my life, I didn't know what would fill it, but when God came into my life, He satisfied a part of me that only God could satisfy. It was a good thing that I could never hope to have, but God gave Himself for me and then gave His Spirit to live within me. I don't know about you tonight, but I mean, I get excited. He says, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. It means instead of crawling, I'm soaring. Instead of being low, I'm flying as high as I can fly. I'm gliding on the wings of an eagle. I mean, we talk about how high that is. Listen, I don't know about you, but he goes on to tell us more about himself. He says, the Lord executeth righteousness. Do you know it's so important? Every word of the Bible is important. God doesn't start that he executeth judgment. God first and foremost executeth righteousness and judgment. And he doesn't go on to say that he judges. He's already talked about how he forgave and how he redeemed and all the things that God is and how he's merciful. But he says that he executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. That means God, who is judge of all things, will forgive. And then those who are oppressed by those who would oppress us, who would hurt us, God is then judging our lives. Not to judge us because he's forgiven us, but to step in and to judge the wicked, to step in and be righteous, to step in and to take hold of things. He says, for all they that are oppressed, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. This is a psalm that they sang, the Jewish people sang this in church, and he just talks about how God revealed himself clearly to Moses. The Bible tells us that God talked to Moses as a man talks to his friend. And we're talking about how are we going to bless the Lord? How would you talk to your friend that you wanted to encourage? Would you walk up and say, I appreciate you. I appreciate all you do. And I mean, I'm just going to tell you, we sometimes think we have to get all the high English in there. That it has to be some kind of written out prayer that when we go to God. But we ought to talk to God just like he's our friend. Because he is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's right there before us. He's not far apart from us. When we draw near to God, God will draw near to us. The Bible tells us all these truths and he will defend us. He executeth righteousness and judgment on our behalf for those that would oppress us. And he says, and he made known his ways unto people in the past. And guess what God's book is still doing, even tonight as we read it? God reveals his ways and himself to us if we would listen and hear him speak to us. His word is alive and it is perfect. It is God's word and it tells us of God's ways. He says in verse 8, the Lord is merciful and, look at this, gracious. Mercy and grace is what every man, woman, boy, and child on earth needs from a holy God. And God is that. That means it is who he is. It makes him up. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, It doesn't mean that he doesn't ever get angry. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know that perfection could come to a God that wouldn't get angry because he executeth judgment. A God that wouldn't get mad at sin or wouldn't get mad. A holy God that wouldn't get upset. But aren't you thankful that he's not quick to anger, but that he's slow to anger? He's a patient God, and he's plenteous in mercy. He's going to talk about how plenteous his mercy is, but he builds this, and he talks about that God is mercy. And if God is never ending, then his mercy is everlasting and gracious. Look at what it says here. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He just goes on and it defines what it means to be slow to anger. That God won't always hold his anger back. He won't always postpone and hold and store up his anger. One day, God's anger will be poured forth on this world, but I am thankful for the age that we currently live in, where God is in a space of grace. This church age where God wants to see men saved. He's given his church a job to do. He's opened a door that we might go out and tell people about him. But one day, this space of grace will end. The church age will be over, and God will reinstitute his, if I could say this, plan for the world with Israel. And the tribulation period, or the time of Jacob's trouble, will come in. If we didn't have anything else to bless God for, it would be that we are not experiencing great tribulation, but just regular tribulation that all dispensations of men have experienced. But there's a great dispensation coming of tribulation. And it's knocking on the door. It's around the corner. But we ought to come to the place where we ought to tell men that God is slow to anger. He won't always be able to hold it back. There's a time coming that if you don't put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he will turn loose his anger. And God will show himself real. Right now, God shows himself real in nature. God shows himself real through the word of God. He shows himself real in us. But one day, God will show himself real from heaven. And he will pour out his wrath. And all men will know him. And one day all men will see him as he returns. And the Bible doesn't say that all men flock to him. The nation of Israel turns to him and trusts him in one day. But the Bible says all the other men on planet Earth try to call the rocks down upon their heads. They try to find a hole in anything to hide them from the one who executeth judgment on the world. I'm glad that that's not the God that I deal with today. I'm in a different age, and I'm on the other side of the judgment. I'm forgiven. I'm redeemed. One day I'll be crowned. Look at what it says. He says, he satisfieth. I have a God that satisfieth, one that heals all diseases today. He's a God that executeth righteousness. He goes on and he talks about here. Look at what he gets to in itself. We've got to pick up. He says, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Aren't you glad that we serve a God who has set those things aside? He knew exactly who we were when he had redeemed us into himself. Look at what God says about himself and how high those things are. He says in verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. The fear of the Lord is something that never should leave the Christian's heart. We should walk closely with him and bless him and not forget all the benefits that we got when we got the Lord. Verse 14 says, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. God loves us. And by the way, I'll just say, it's not because of who we are, but because of what we are that God remembers. He realizes, and sometimes we get all high and pious. If we're not careful as Christians, we'll think, when God got me, he really got something. But when God looks from heaven, he realizes that he redeemed dust. Can we all agree today that it is only because of God that we even exist? Because long, long ago, God took the dust of the earth and formed it into the shape of a man. And he breathed into that dirt ball the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Everything that we are, everything that we have today as a church is because of him, and everything that we hope to have as we hope in him is all because of God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Church, I don't know about you tonight, but I would love to be an encourager. I would love for our church to continue to be an encouraging group of people. As people walk in to the back door, they meet people who are consistently blessing the Lord. He says, you know, my grandson today said, he was talking about it, and he said something that was true, and I said, amen. He said, why you say amen? I said, because I wanted it to be so. I said, because I'm a preacher. There should be something different about our speech. It should be that which always blesses the Lord. If we're not careful, we'll fall back into who we used to be. And I'm thankful I have a God that pities me like a father, that loves me. Despite, you know what, as a father, my dad knows my shortcomings most of the time because my DNA came from him. And he knows my weaknesses and my frailties. Do you know that God doesn't know that about me the same way my dad did? Not from the same experience. Not until Jesus came from heaven, allowed himself to be wrapped in dust. And he became 100% man and 100% God, becoming the captain of our salvation and much more than that. Think about how a judge or a chief priest over our house, over we who are a part of the church, what we got. We've been studying the book of Hebrews. When we got Jesus, think about all that we got. He pitieth us like a father. Why? Because he knows our pains. He knows the hurt. He knows what it's like to be tired. He knows what it's like to be so weak in the flesh, but allowed himself to be strong in the spirit. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, we have a great God. One that ought to be blessed on a regular basis. If you're someone who came in here tonight and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, he is so worthy of your acceptance. He's the only name that you can call on to be saved. As a Christian tonight, he's the only person that should hold the throne room of your heart to receive your praise and glory on a regular basis. I'd ask you to do this with me tonight. I don't know where you are in your Christian life, whether you need healing from all diseases, whether you need encouragement, or whether these things are something that you need to put into your life, but I would mark some things in Psalm 103. And when you need to bless the Lord, go back there. The psalmist penned it down. And by the way, it's a perfect Bible. It's a perfect way to go and bless the Lord, to open the book and make and claim this as your own, and talk to God and who he is and what he is, and bless his holy name. Tonight, I ask you to do this. Maybe you've been away from God and you need to get closer to him. Maybe you've been a negative Nancy or a negative Ned, and you need to get back to the place where you get charged up. The best way to start that is to bless God, to just bless his holy name and to tell him how good he is. And listen, and then keep doing that. Look for the good in everybody else. You say, preacher, why'd you preach this tonight? Because I need this. And if I need it, I figured somebody else might need it. Amen? Would you stand to your feet with me tonight? As we go into the invitation, the musicians come. Can I ask you to do this? If God spoke to your heart, would you do business with him tonight? Would you come and just say, God, I talk to you all the time, but there's been very little times that I told you how good you are for all of your benefits. As Christians tonight, we ought to come and speak to God, or right where we are, just talk to him. But if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I invite you to meet me here in the front. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that heaven is your home because you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. We preached this morning about calling upon the name of the Lord. Would you let us take the Bible and show you how you can call upon the name of Jesus Christ to be your Savior. He came from heaven, lived the perfect life, and laid down his life to pay for your sin debt so that he could forgive you, as we said tonight, and redeem you back into himself. Would you let him do that tonight? As Brother Bert sings, would you step out and come? I'll meet you right here in the front. All